from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to another episode of The Good Atheist. This is your news for this first week of October 2024. Outed Catholic priest suing Grindr over data leak. If you're a straight man, odds are you have a tertiary knowledge of an app called Grindr. You probably know that it's a program used by gay men looking to hook up. It's used extensively by religious conservatives who have to hide their sexuality from others. One such closeted man, a now former priest by the name of Jeffrey Burrell, was forced out of the church when he was exposed as gay by an organization called The Pillar, which seeks to expose gay priests in order to show the hypocrisy of the church. This angered Burrell, who is now suing Grindr for allegedly selling his information. The ex-priest alleges in his lawsuit that The Pillar received that data from Catholic Laity and Clergy for Renewal, a Christian nonprofit that brought data from queer dating apps to track down Christian leaders using them against their vows, implying that Grindr had sold it to the organization. Burrell said he'd never have joined the app had he known his data would be available to the public, according to the lawsuit. Now, the tricky thing here is that there's no law preventing your data from being sold. In fact, that's how most tech companies make their money. You are just a series of numbers as far as they are concerned, and any method of making money is kosher to them. It's difficult to see how Burrell is going to make his case here. If he had an expectation of privacy, then he chose the wrong program to fulfill his desires. In any case, he should be taking the opportunity to grow. He's gay and obviously enjoys sex, which means he's not exactly a good fit for a religious organization that forbids both of these things from its members. Being a disgraced priest is a badge of honor for many former members of the church, and now that he's out of the closet, perhaps Burrell can seek a loving relationship rather than tawdry sex. Just like the part of his body he was taught was sinful, it's never too late to grow. Mother arrested in forced marriage tragedy. Domestic abuse is no joke. Every year, roughly 47,000 women and young girls are killed by their partners. This translates to a sobering average of one woman being killed every 11 minutes. One of the worst offenders in domestic violence is Islam. With its perpetual fear of women, it's not enough that they force them to be constantly covered up, lest they tempt their morally repugnant men to lust. Forced marriages are still a common practice, even when these people live in democratic countries. Rukia Haidari was a young woman who was forced into a marriage she did not want by her mother, Sakina Muhammad Jan. The family had already been paid a bride price, and so the mother wasn't interested in the strong objections of her daughter. The two live in Australia, which has strict laws forbidding the practice. This did little to dissuade Jan, who told her daughter that if she did not marry a man named Mohammed Ali Halimi, she would be kicked out of the house. At only 21, Rukia had dreams of attending school to pursue a career. Alas, it was not meant to be. Her violent and controlling husband waited only a few weeks before he slit her throat with a knife. Now, an Australian court has found the mother guilty of breaking forced marriage laws and was sentenced to 12 months in jail. The conviction was only made possible when members of her own religious community came forward to inform the police of the situation. The irony here is the family had moved to Australia in order to escape persecution from the Taliban. It appears that while you can take people out of a religious oppressive place, you sometimes cannot take the oppression out of the people. The Taliban only exists because of the willingness of people to follow edicts and rules that are disastrous, especially to young women. When the decision was made by the courts, unsurprisingly, Jan said she would refuse to accept the verdict, presumably because she still thinks that she did nothing wrong. She was eventually led away by court officers. So at the end of the day, we have a young woman dead, an older one jailed, and a murderer in prison for life. I wonder if there will ever be a time when the so-called religion of peace will no longer cause countless tragedies. My guess is none of us will ever live to see that day. Freedom From Religion Foundation lodges formal complaint against Catholic League. I am not by nature a negative person. I like to see the best in people, and while I like to think that I have a fairly positive outlook on life, I must admit that I've become completely disillusioned with America, specifically her commitment to secularism. The recent rulings by the Supreme Court allowing for the funding of religious charter schools is but one of many attempts by Christians to formalize their alliance with government. School districts across the country are being forced to teach the Bible, and the Ten Commandments are popping up all over the place. The Republican nominee for President of the United States has allied himself with the religious right, and they have big plans for the country if they win. I wrote an article not long ago about the fact that the IRS has essentially abandoned its own rules concerning churches getting involved in politics. The punishment is simple. Get involved in politics, lose your tax-exempt status. For almost a decade, not one organization has been held accountable for their gross violations, and the message is clear. Regardless of how blatantly churches violate this law, they will never be in any danger of facing consequences for it. Recently, the Catholic League has been making its stance on the presidential race quite clear. Over the last several weeks, they've published a number of articles attacking the Democratic nominee, Kamala Harris, and said, without any proof, of course, that she would be harmful to religious freedoms if elected. This was quickly followed by another article defending the Republican vice presidential candidate, J.D. Vance, and making it abundantly clear that a good Catholic should vote red. The Freedom From Religion Foundation is not having it, and so they've lodged a formal complaint with the IRS over this extremely obvious infraction. The problem is that this is going to do absolutely nothing. There is zero probability that the IRS will get involved. If anything, by acting, they could unduly influence the results of the election by actually following their own rules. The religious right would use the opportunity to claim that they are being targeted under the Biden administration, and this would only feed their claim that Democrats are dangerous to religious freedom. The fact that the rules were never being enforced means that doing so now would look suspicious. All this toothless and pathetic organization can do is continue to allow scofflaws to operate with impunity. I cannot imagine a scenario in which violators would finally face the same fate that we all do, paying our fucking taxes. It's as though a wealthy organization like the Catholic League thinks that not having to pay their fair share is fine, since they are busy doing charity work, you know, like acting as another wing of the Republican Party. Trump supporters claim Harris will bring about apocalypse. How do you know you're in a death cult? Well, for starters, your first clue would be that everything you dislike is always characterized in apocalyptic terms. Don't like rock music or rap? It's the work of the devil, you see. Painting everything with this brush ensures that you are constantly afraid, which is another important aspect of death cults. If you're not scared all the time, you're doing it wrong. Most Christians out there have no idea they're in a death cult. It's because it's been around so long that folks are just accustomed to it. It's a bit like how people in wars get used to the constant bombardment around them. Eventually, they are just blind to it, despite the fact that the real danger of death has not fundamentally changed. Merely their perception of it has. So we can't be surprised at all by conservative Christians who support Donald Trump from behaving in some very strange ways. Since they have adopted the orange turd as their messiah, the departure of Joe Biden from the presidential race and his biracial female replacement has sent waves of fear among his most loyal supporters. Seeing the writing on the wall, many are now claiming that she is the personification of all the evils in the world. In just this past week, popular MAGA pundits warn that Harris is Hitler and Stalin combined but times 200, and also a commie who will choose a running mate who supports allowing men to beat up women in Olympics. They also expressed outrage over the opening ceremony at the Paris Olympics as the end of Western civilization, and singled out one woman on a Zoom fundraiser call for Harris's campaign as another harbinger of end times. Their list of grievances is perhaps some of the most pathetic braying in history. Transgender athletes and artistic depictions of the Last Supper are not exactly barn burner issues. If anything, it only demonstrates that the things that Christians fear as demonic is pretty milquetoast. Meanwhile, this is the same group of people who want to outlaw all abortions, force the Bible to be taught in schools, and essentially blow up the separation of church and state in order to officially make America into a theocratic nightmare. The only bit of good news in this is that Harris is genuinely terrifying to these weirdos. The thing to remember is that the country is a vastly different place than when Donald won his presidency in 2016. Over 22 million baby boomers, which make up the vast majority of his base, have died since the last election. That's a significant number. And with more young people being energized, this election is beginning to look like it could go Harris's way. This means that as election night gets closer, you will begin to see the true desperation of these Christian nationalists on full display. When the stakes are risen to the point of apocalyptic language, it's difficult to predict exactly what will happen, but it's safe to say that people should be extremely worried. Never forget that those who believe in absurdities can easily be convinced to commit atrocities. Atheists sleep better than Christians. How many times have you been told that as an atheist that religion helps provide comfort to people? I've always felt that this claim was highly suspicious. Sure, the promise of heaven might sound good to those without a proper understanding of eternity, but there is always the threat of hell that looms. Rare is the strong believer that isn't living in fear that they might accidentally slip up and spend their afterlife getting pineapples shoved up their asses. A recent study on sleep has shown that atheists sleep more hours than their religious counterparts. The study could not find the reason why, and some of their conclusions are suspect, to say the least. Mental health is increasingly discussed in church settings, as it should be, but sleep health is not discussed, said lead author Kyla Ferguson, a student at Baylor University in Waco, Texas. Yet we know that sleep loss undercuts many human abilities that are considered to be core values of the church, being a positive member of a social community, expressing love and compassion rather than anger or judgment, and displaying integrity in moral reasoning and behavior. First, I'd like to point out the elephant in the room. Any church that discusses mental health is totally out of their league. Pastors are not psychologists. They are literally experts in nonsense. You are better off getting advice on mental health from a hobo off the street than you are a priest. You're also less likely to be sexually or physically abused by avoiding these sanctimonious jackasses. Second, you should never take Christians at their word, especially when they claim that their churches emphasize values such as love and compassion. They are far more likely to be stressed out, judgmental, and angry at their current status within American society. As religion erodes from public life, believers are more and more distressed by the thought that they are no longer culturally dominant. Meanwhile, non-believers are sleeping like babies, knowing that in a few decades, no one will be left to preach hatred, suspicion, or anger anymore, and that churches will slowly crumble from lack of maintenance. So the conclusion is simple. If you're having sleep problems, stop praying to a guy that wants to send you to hell for touching yourself. Sounds pretty basic, doesn't it? Freedom from religion wins lawsuit against censorship in Texas. In a legal battle that lasted 8 years, the Freedom from Religion Foundation has won their lawsuit against Governor Greg Abbott, who had censored a display of the Bill of Rights back in 2016. In total, the state of Texas had to pay the organization over $350,000. The amount could have been lower, but due to the governor trying to delay a judgment that dated all the way back to 2017, it cost the taxpayers even more to settle the affair. The lawsuit began in February 2016, after Abbott ordered removal of Freedom from Religion Foundation's duly approved and permitted Bill of Rights nativity display from the Texas State Capitol. Abbott ordered the display removed only 3 days after it was put up on December 18, 2015, lambasting it as indecent, mocking, and contributing to public immorality. Now, I must admit a little bias in my reporting. You see, I'm the artist that created the display all those years ago. It was a special request, done in a style that actually mirrored the nativity display, but instead of a baby Jesus, the founding fathers are kneeling to the Bill of Rights, which had been adopted in late December 1791. Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, and George Washington are the three wise men, and Mary is the Statue of Liberty. To say it was designed specifically to annoy Christians would be an understatement. It was created to drive them nuts. The solution to avoiding the display was simple. Don't put up a nativity scene, and the Freedom from Religion Foundation won't put up their display. Religious zealots like Abbott can't help themselves, which is where this puppy came into play. To say I'm proud of this work is an understatement. Every Christmas, I look forward to this artwork appearing in the news. It's one of the most effective ways to get under the American Taliban's skin. Iraq law would legalize child marriage. There is a trick that religious institutions like to use to get people to look the other way at their myriad crimes. Accuse your enemies of everything you are guilty of in order to throw people off your scent. This is why the LGBT community is often the target of accusations of grooming and child abuse. This is literally what the world's great monotheistic religions do. They groom kids into their death cult, scar them with threats of damnation for not believing, and force them to be something they are not. Let's not forget that a disturbingly high percentage of them will also be sexually abused, something that happens so often that TGA has run out of ways to write youth pastor abuses children. So despite the fact that children are statistically safer at a drag show than a Sunday sermon, it doesn't stop religions from using them as a major distraction. While folks are outraged at the wrong people, they use the opportunity to try and pass laws that make the abuse of kids and women even easier. In Iraq, a draconian law is being proposed that would make it legal for men to marry children as young as 9. You know, the age that their pedophile prophet married his favorite sex slave. The horrible taste in your mouth is the result of all that bile that's invading it at the thought that this is a very good chance of passing. Women and children's rights campaigners in Iraq have pushed back at proposals that could enshrine sectarianism in family relationships, hand more power in family matters to clerics, and open the doors for marriage to be legalized for children as young as 9 years old. The amendments to Law No. 188, the Personal Status Law of 1959, have been heavily promoted by the Coordination Framework, a coalition of conservative Shia Islamist parties that form the largest bloc in Parliament. Wow, with that kind of endorsement, who can lose? Well, only the poor people who live in this country. This is the true face of Islam. And when they are in full control of the government, it doesn't take long for their intentions to be known. The Quran is all the justification that these perverts need to rape children that are in the most vulnerable years of their existence. Is it the religion that attracts these pedophiles, or does it create them? It hardly matters which one. I suspect it's both, which to me only amplifies what I've been saying for a long time. This religion is a curse on humanity, and only when the last Muslim is awakened from their toxic fever dream, realizing they supported a faith with irredeemable elements, will we ever live in peace. The marrying of child brides is but one of these toxicities that continues to plague this religion. It is but one great evil among countless others. Any rational and caring human being must reject this philosophy of submission and death before the rest of the world pays a heavy price for the fanatics within their ranks. And with that, I'd like to thank all my listeners and my Patreon supporters. Have a good atheist day, everybody.